Hey everyone, it's Bryn Hunt Palmer, the host of The Birth Hour, and this is the first of 7 special bonus episodes in our Know Your Options series. If this is your first time listening to The Birth Hour, this is not the norm around here. We're all about birth stories all the time, so every episode is always a mom sharing her birth story. But we're starting these bonus episodes as a third episode every week on Mondays. I'm going to be talking with my friend Stephanie Spitzer-Hanks, who is a doula, childbirth educator, and lactation consultant, and I've been to her in-person childbirth education classes several times and was so blown away by all of the evidence-based information she provides and just her warm tone and funny personality. And I just really wanted to collaborate with her on something. So we're putting together a series of educational episodes for you. And then we've got a big childbirth education project in the pipeline. So we'll have more information about that to come. There are going to be several free downloads with these episodes to help you out, so you don't have to feel like you're taking notes, and we'll also have bonus content with those. I will share that link at the end of this episode, as well as a link to a Google form for you to submit your questions, because we're also going to be doing Facebook Lives every Wednesday to kind of go over the topic that we talked about on Monday and answer your questions. So those will be at 1 p.m. Central Time over on the Birth Hour Facebook page. So if you have any questions from what you hear today, just submit that Google form and we will do our best to answer them. And I'll be sharing that download link at the end of this episode as well. I hope you guys enjoy this. I'd love to hear your feedback. We have some really great topics coming up. If there's anything really specific that you think we should cover, I'd love to hear that as well. All right, now we're going to get to the conversation with me and Stephanie about how to find an evidence-based care provider.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi, Bryn.
Thanks for being here today.
I'm glad to be here.
Tell people a little bit about just kind of your background and how you came to this birth world.
Well, if you want to hear the whole story, you can listen to my Birth Hour episode.
True. So, episode 126, I just looked it up.
Awesome, 126 is me. But just super briefly, yeah, I had a really great supported experience with my first birth, and it made me want to support other women in the same way I'd been supported. So I became a doula, started the training over 6 years ago now, and I have been to 98 births so far. I'm keeping
wow,
track.
Awesome.
I'm about to hit 100. I feel like there should be a balloon drop or something. But yeah, so I've been a birth doula for years and all kinds of different births and supported a lot of different women with different goals. And I learned something at every birth. I also became a lactation counselor and a postpartum doula and a childbirth educator sort of along the way and over the past few years. And, you know, I really have as a goal to help people know what their options are and help them know how to advocate for themselves and understand kind of the birth environment in the United States.
Yeah, well, I remember reading on your website that, I was just say, every time I see a woman empowered to speak up for herself and her body and her choices, I am inspired to help another woman to do the same.
I wrote that? That's great.
I love that. That's exactly how I feel every time I get a message from somebody who listens to the Birth Hour that says what a difference it's made in their birth. So
yeah.
I'm just really excited to kind of take this to the next level and offer comprehensive education around all of the things that have to do with birth and postpartum and pregnancy and breastfeeding and all of that. So we're starting this little bonus series to kind of get people to know you and to get to know our approach to childbirth education.
Mm-hmm.
And today's episode is going to be about finding an evidence-based doctor. So what are your first kind of things that come to mind when you think about that?
On a foundational level, all care providers do not practice the same. And it's important to go in and do an actual interview with your care provider, even if you already have one and you think that's your person, there are some things that you need to ask to make sure that you're a good fit, because you can always switch and find somebody who better aligns with your goals and your priorities. So, you know, there is a care provider out there for everybody, and there's going to be different care providers that are going to be better fit for different people. So it's important to kind of know what it is that you're looking for and then have some good questions to ask so that you can find out if this care provider is a good fit for you.
What are some of those top questions that you recommend?
Well, I think number one, the best question to ask is to ask your care provider to describe to you what typically happens when one of their patients goes into labor. Because what typically happens, how they normally practice, is how they're going to practice with you. So if you go in with somebody who has, you know, and you're trying to have an unmedicated natural birth and your care provider has a really high cesarean rate, probably you're going to have a higher likelihood of getting a cesarean because the way that they practice is how they practice. And you're asking for an exception to their rule, which you're probably not going to get when push comes to shove. So just ask, what do you normally do? What does it look like? Walk me through it. And I think it's really important to kind of play dumb, to not walk in with your birth plan already all typed out and written and say, this is what I want. Can you do this for me? Because they'll probably say, oh yeah, absolutely. But you want to know, you want them to take the first step and to describe what they do normally. See what kind of flags come up for you.
I feel like doctors will kind of tell you what you want to hear because they only get, you know, 5 minutes to mm-hmm. talk to you. And, you know, that's not their fault. That's just the way that the system is designed.
Absolutely.
They have to see a certain number of patients. So mm-hmm. they will try to, you know, make you happy while you're there. And you don't want that. You want to be happy during your birth.
Yeah.
So I love that, mm-hmm. that point mm-hmm. of, you know, playing dumb and just kind of letting them lead the conversation and mm-hmm. then paying attention to the red flags. So what would be some of those red flags?
This is where you really have to have done some research on your own or taken a childbirth course or read and know what it is that you want. So that, you know, if you know that you're going to want to not have an epidural, if they mention epidural as something that typically happens to their patients, that might be something that you ask about. Or if they mention a certain kind of timeline, you know, like, well, and usually if people haven't made good progress within a certain number of hours, then we'll want to start with Pitocin or we'll, you know, start talking about a cesarean. Okay, so timelines are not necessarily evidence-based. So there can be, you know, a lot of things that they say that might make you question. And you can just kind of ask follow-up questions. I think that's always a good tactic and to kind of tease out what they mean by things and not assume. But another kind of follow-up question I think that is good to ask is, you know, when do you do, you know, and you can insert intervention, you know, whatever intervention. So like, when do you do inductions? You know, and if they say when medically necessary, that's not an answer. So you want to ask for a further clarifying, okay, so when exactly is that? So that, you know, you can get that information and go back and compare notes with what you've read and what you, you know, what you're seeking for your birth and see if that lines up. But you can just ask and then just don't give any kind of leads. Just see what they say.
Because I know you always see the mm-hmm. nurse first in your appointments.
Right.
Are there any questions you can kind of slip in there?
You know, it's interesting because I don't know how much they really know about how the nurses in the office know
right,
about
so
how
the
they
hospital.
Really do at the hospital. Mm-hmm. You know, and nurses at the hospital, even if you know one in real life, they're going to be sort of limited in what they can tell you because of them wanting to keep their jobs. And so,
right.
you know, I recommend people if you really want to know more, because yeah, you're not always going to get the full story either from time constraints, you know, from your office visit, or because sometimes care providers don't really always give the full picture about themselves. And so I recommend, you know, kind of making a bigger sweep out into your community, asking childbirth educators or doulas or other moms in your community who have recently given birth. And be really specific about what it is you're looking for, you know, because, you know, if you're just like, you know, I really want an epidural or I want a doctor who offers ultrasounds at every visit. You know, some people want that level of intervention. So mm-hmm. if that's what you're looking for, say that.
Right.
This is what I'm looking for so that people yeah. can give you good feedback on the doctor that you're asking about.
And I feel like, too, if you're asking mm-hmm. a woman, a fellow mom, you know, how her birth went.
Mm-hmm.
Or how she liked her doctor, I guess I should
mm-hmm.
say, find out how her birth went. Because if she had, you know, a textbook
mm-hmm.
labor,
yeah.
then it was great, you
yeah.
know. But maybe if you go past your due date or, you know, take longer to get to 10 centimeters,
mm-hmm.
things might not go the same. So you might want to ask her, you know, to talk to another mom who had a different
mm-hmm.
birth experience. Because I've heard of people who love their doctor and then
yeah.
someone else saw the same doctor and didn't have the same experience.
Well, and I think a lot of times when you ask people, hey, you know, what do you think of your doctor? They're talking about their doctor's personality.
Yeah.
And there are some doctors, you know, in this town that are super affable. Like, you know, I would want to hang out with them. They are just genuinely nice people. But they have some of the highest cesarean rates in town.
Yeah.
So, you know, Like, I could go to coffee with somebody, but that doesn't mean I want them to be my OB.
Right.
Because I don't want them to cut me, you know? Right. And so, you know, so I think sometimes people get caught up in the personality of their doctor and not so much in the statistics behind how they actually practice, which to me is more important.
Yeah.
You know, personality, I don't really care about, you know, I don't need somebody holding my hand, but that is different for different people. Some other people would really want somebody who's very gentle and warm, even if they had higher intervention rates. Then, you know, I would prefer somebody with low intervention rates and I could care less about the personality, but you know, that's me and my priorities. So you really have to think about what your priorities are.
Right. And your experience with an OB, in your annual exams, if you really have enjoyed that, or your, you know, your mom went to this doctor and so you're going to her too, that's very different than your birth. So you can still go back to her for your annuals when you're done giving birth, or him or her,
totally.
Maybe not the perfect person for your birth. So, and maybe they are, but just do your research and ask questions and don't feel guilty for asking questions.
Right. Or feel like you're going to hurt their feelings by switching providers. Okay. It's a business relationship, you know, and they, you know, they probably genuinely do like you back, but they also, it's a business, you know, and they're, it's not personal in that way, you know, and you want to get the kind of care that you want and not just try not to avoid some hurting somebody's feelings. I think sometimes as women we do that, you know.
Totally. Like, and there's something about doctors that we don't feel like we can question because you know, they went to med school and they know you know all these things, and it's our first time, you know, having a baby, and surely they have our best interests in mind. So even if you start off with a doctor that you love and it's going great, and then all of a sudden, you know, you start to notice them dropping certain, you know, words.
Well, this baby's starting to measure really big. We might need to think about doing a cesarean. Yes. Okay, that would be a red flag.
That is a good one. Yeah. So, guessing baby's weight with an ultrasound, how much evidence backs that up?
In the third trimester, very little. But the further you, closer you get to your due date, the less reliable those ultrasounds are. But, you know, earlier on, they're good indicators. But yeah, if your care provider's using ultrasound to guess your baby's weight and make recommendations about the way your baby should be born in the third trimester, you might want to take pause.
And I feel like sometimes they use like underhanded scare tactics, not direct, but you know, making you worried about tearing or something like that, which we're going to get into in a future episode.
Absolutely.
You know, preventing tearing as much as possible and how to, you know, recover from it and everything. But just little things like that. Like if your mom intuition is going off in your head, pay attention to it and talk to your partner. Go on some other interviews. You don't have to fire your doctor right away. Go interview some other people and see how you feel talking to them.
Yeah, totally.
And what in your experience is like the latest you could switch care providers?
Oh gosh, people switch super late. Like it's easiest to switch before 30 weeks. It's a little more difficult to switch before 37 weeks. It's not impossible to switch after 37 weeks, but it's more difficult. So, you know, definitely the earlier is better, but if you're not happy, then you can find somebody to take you. What's good is that they can't fire you after 37 weeks. So sometimes care providers can fire you. That's something within their rights to terminate the relationship, but they can't do that after 37 weeks. So even if you're having conflict with them and they make threats, you can't, they can't fire you as a patient because there's not a reasonable expectation that you could get another care provider at that late date. But yeah, but you can always switch. I mean, there's, it's possible to switch in labor.
Yeah.
You know, it's possible. It's not something I would recommend. I would like for you to do that earlier, but it's possible.
Yeah. One thing I learned from you in your class is that if you're nervous about the confrontation that comes around switching care providers, just don't be. Like, just find your new doctor and then call the office, call the front desk and tell them to send your records to your new doctor. You do not even have to have a conversation with your old doctor.
Right. You just call the front desk and say, I need my records transferred to this place and they'll do it. You don't ever have to have a face-to-face.
Yeah. And it's just like any, again, learn from you. It's like any other business contract. They work for you. And if you're not happy, you find someone else. So if someone, you know, mows your lawn and is doing a bad job, you don't feel guilty, you know, switching to a new
service, right? Yeah,
so,
totally.
So yeah, I loved hearing that from you. I think sometimes with, you know, having home births myself with my midwife and always feeling so comfortable, I just didn't, you know, those types of things weren't worries for me, which, you know, we'll talk more about the difference in care between, mm-hmm. you know, midwifery and OBs and everything. But it's totally up to you.
Totally. So. You are the person paying, you know, I mean, your insurance may be paying, but you're paying your insurance. Like you are the consumer and you get to have the choice and the power that comes with that.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So I know we've gone over a lot of stuff here. So what we're going to do for you guys is we're going to create a cheat sheet download, mm-hmm. Where you can get all of this information in one place, as well as a list of questions to take with you when you're interviewing your doctor, or to just, you know, memorize beforehand. So I will share that link in the outro of this episode, but we want you guys to have all that information right in front of you. And on the next episode, we are going to talk about choosing a hospital and what to look for, because even if your doctor is evidence-based, they might be constrained by some of the hospital rules and regulations. So we just want to go over that so that you're prepared in that area as well.
All right, now I'm going to direct you to where to get the free download, as well as to submit questions for us to answer on the Facebook Live. So I think the easiest way to do that is going to be to send you to the show notes page for today's episode, and then I will link out to everything from there. So you're going to go to thebirthhour.com/bonus1. It's just the number one. And I'll just do that for each bonus episode so that it's super easy. I'll link to the free download, the guide to finding an evidence-based doctor with questions to ask. You can print that off and bring it in with you when you meet with your potential doctor. And there'll also be an easy Google form to fill out there if you have any more questions for us that you want us to address on the Facebook Live. And I'm also going to go ahead and link to the quiz that I talked about a few weeks back, which is where should you give birth based on your personality. I've been so surprised by the results on this. So if you haven't taken that quiz, I'll link to that from that link as well, which is thebirthhour.com/bonus1. All right, we'll have a new birth story for you tomorrow, and hopefully I will get to connect with you during the Facebook Live on Wednesday at 1 p.m. Central Time.